Hello, welcome to the RTE Olympics podcast. Mikey Stafford here, and I am joined by Jesse Barr from Paris, who was in the Stade de France to see Rashida Adelecki qualify for Friday's 400 meter final, the first Irish woman to qualify for an Olympic sprint final and only the third Irish athlete after Bob Tisdall and Jesse's brother Tom. So
he has to get a mention.
Yeah, she's in illustrious company, Jesse.
Illustrious company, and she's there on her own as the only female, which is incredible. So yeah, look, the job is done. You know, I've listened back to some of her interviews afterwards, and it's funny, you know, this is the caliber of athlete Rashida is she just qualified for her first Olympic final, and the first thing she said was that was a messy race. You know, so it kind of shows where her head is at in terms of, because I know there was a little bit of, you know, I was sitting with Gary Moore in the stadium and he was kind of saying, okay, from my untrained eye, she looked like she was tying up a little bit. It's always hard to say from after a semi-final, you know, you can never say exactly how the race is going to go just by how someone looked. She has a day off tomorrow. She's nearly a full day of recovery. She's going to go back to her coach, tie up those messy bits. But she looked good. And look, the job is done. All she had to do, the job is to get into the final and then anything can happen.
Gary's definitely got a more trained eye than me when it comes to athletics. He's covered a lot of it. And yeah. I would say that to my even less trained eye, it also looked like she just didn't look as fluid as she did in her heat. And to me, again, very untrained eye, it looked like she was maybe a little bit spooked or a little bit surprised to see Saleh Nasir come up on her inside coming off the last bend. And maybe that did throw her a bit, or maybe it didn't. But it certainly seemed like, maybe it's just the way she visualized it. It'd be like the heat. She'd be coming down the home straight, clear, nobody in front of her, and she could kind of, you know, kind of crank it down. Whereas Nasir went by her, like she went well by her, and she wasn't catching her. And so then it was just a matter of keeping second. That's how it looked like to me. What do you think?
Yeah. And look, I can't say I have a trained eye in Rashida, but what I suppose that race is a little bit reminiscent of to me was her European final. The same thing, that kind of looked really fluid in qualifying and just tied up. Now, I know Rashida would have, the game plan would have been to use her speed. She is a 200, like she was a 200 meter specialist. Her speed is her straw, is her secret weapon. So for Nasir, who was on an inside lane to Rashida, to have caught her so quickly, you know, she caught her on the top bend. That could have spooked her. Like you said, it could have been that, you know, being in the outside lane, you kind of blinkered. You don't expect that bend to unwind until further into the race. So maybe seeing her, catching her so quickly spooked her. You know, I'd be interested to know what the messiness that she mentioned was. Like, where did she identify the mess? You know, obviously we've seen her tie up at the end because we know she has to get out fast and hold on. That's Rashida's plan. She's not going to be the person like Quincy Hall in that men's 400 who's going to come out of nowhere and win it.
I don't think anybody who thinks they're going to be Quincy Hall the way he won that.
No, that's not going to be the way Rashida's going to win it. She's going to use her speed and hold on. So that's what we probably saw. And yeah, maybe she tensed up a little bit. Maybe when, you know, she was holding on. And look, she that was another 20 or 30 meters. That Norwegian girl, Jaeger, would have caught her. You know, she coming through like a train. That's not going to be the Rashida we'll see. And, you know, we're not going to see Rashida coming through from the back. She's going to be thereabouts in contention at 300 and holding on. So, yeah, look, I think she said as well in her interview, which was interesting, was that she's come through kind of messy early rounds and run a good final. I wonder, was she referring to NCAAs or other major championships, which said she's been in this position before. So again, it's not new. So hopefully that won't have spooked her, because that's the main thing. Whatever happened in the semifinals, it's done. The job is to get through. She got the automatic cue. She'll get a decent lane draw as a result.
Yeah, the lane draw's in. She's got lane four. It's going to be either lane four or lane nine. And so she was drawn in four. You as a former 400 meter runner, which one of those two would you have preferred?
Me personally, I liked running the outside lane, only for the same reasons I just mentioned. You're running your own race, especially in something like the 400 hurdles that I used to do. You could literally focus on your own race plan until the race started to unfold. Look, would she like to have someone to pace herself off? Potentially. So, you know, she had an outside lane there. She's going to now know what's going on and maybe not get spooked. So she's going to be more part of the race, which could work in her favor as well.
Yeah. But I suppose, as everybody who, you know, was saying before this, you know, the main job here was to qualify in, preferably with a big queue and not have to be stressing over the other two semis. And then when you see Nikisha Price, Lika Claver not making it into the final, you can see that making it into this top eight is no mean feat.
No. And I had a sneaky feeling about Nikisha Price. She has no pedigree at a major championship level yet. This was her first major championships. I feel that, like, she obviously did it. That London Diamond League, she ran that world-leading time. You know, that was a bit of an out of nowhere. To replicate that and do it at a major championships is a very different story. So, and look, someone as experienced as Lika Claver, who's been in several, has been in two world finals, to not make it through in the fashion she did. Yeah, it just goes to show the standard of athletes. And then you have someone like Nasser coming in third fastest of all time and is coming back, looking like she's shaping back into that form as well. Like, it's going to be a blisteringly fast final potentially.
Yeah, we in the office we were kind of laughing about Rob Heffernan and Dermot O'Rourke. They're very Cork. They're quite
okay.
They like to drown you in a bit of realism every now and again. And they're kind of saying, yeah, you know, if she, you know, better than sixth in this final would be a good result for Rashida, which I don't think is what the nation wanted to hear. But they were saying that, look, Mary Lady Pellino and on that performance, Sawa Aid Nasser are probably a little bit ahead of the rest of the field. So, you know, realistically, perhaps Rashida is running for third. Granted, it's championship running, anything can happen. But on the form of the semifinals, it's hard to look past those two as the contenders for gold.
Yeah, I mean, Marley, like Nasser is a question mark. She's only just back. She's only been back for a year since her 2 year ban. So we know what she can do. She hasn't been in a major championship since 2019 when she won it. And it was a bit of a surprise when she did. She kind of came out of nowhere, a little bit in the fashion she did today. Paulina, on the other hand, is very accomplished. She's a world champion from last year, has silver medals at world level. Is a 48-second, mid to 48-second runner. Yeah, I think those two are going to be very, very hard to beat unless something. So, but after that, I think throw a blanket over the rest of them. Like, I know we're looking at Kazmarek, who Rashida was beaten by so narrowly at that European Championships. They still have to go and reproduce that again, you know. So I think throw a blanket over the rest of them for bronze. And that's not me writing off Rashida for gold medal. She's absolutely good enough. Just those two girls have the caliber and have the times behind them to bring them to those top two medals, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I think that's, you have to be realistic. You can't go into it with, you know, kind of green tinted glasses on. You have to say that, you know, she's proved, particularly in her college career, that she's a championship runner. She's got a great Absolutely. Pedigree.
Yeah.
But you also can't deny the races that Pellino and Nasser ran there this evening.
And we do have to remember, Rashida's 21. This is her first Olympics. Like, we're not talking about an athlete who has been there and done that three times over. I think we've kind of sometimes forget how, because she's done so much in such a short time, in such a short career. Was it a long career, if you think of her youth, from coming from youth level? So I think we just have this expectation of Rashida. And we're right to have that expectation. She is one of the fastest in the field. But being the fastest going into a final doesn't always matter, because final championship running in finals is different. She has won championships. The NCAAs is very competitive and she has won that. So hopefully, you know, those experiences and training where she does in the US, and she's very much a small fish in a big pond over there, I think that's going to all stand to her as well. So look, we're not writing her off, but we're not also putting the gold medal around her neck just yet.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And look, that's fair enough. And I think we'll be talking about this more tomorrow, because people might have noticed the we're tailing off a little bit in terms of competitors coming towards the end of the Olympics, which is usually true. So the fact tonight, I know you like the fact, Jesse, so I kept
Go
it for you.
It.
I'm talking to Philip Doyle and Dara Lynch next, but I think the lads are having too much fun. They weren't interested in trivia. I don't know if you heard, our neighbours, our dearest neighbours, Team GB secured their 1,000th Olympic medal today. That's across summer and winter games. Their 1,000th medal when Ethan Hayter, Daniel Bigham, Charlie Tanfield and Ethan Vernon secured silver in the cycling men's team pursuit. So I had to go and find out who Team GB's first ever Olympic champion was. Launceston Elliott is his name. And he was born in the town of Launceston in Tasmania. He was named out. Oh, sorry. He was conceived in the town of Launceston, Australia.
Kind of a Brooklyn Beckham kind of a vibe there.
Yeah, exactly. He's like the 19th century Brooklyn Beckham. He was actually born in India, moved back to England, where his dad got into farming, and it turned out that Launceston was incredibly strong. So he got into weightlifting, and he won a gold medal in the single hand lift, but he didn't win the gold in the two-handed lift because Prince George of Greece, this is, sorry, at the first Olympics in 1896, the first, yes, so, Prince George of Greece was the judge, and he thought that this Danish guy, Viggo Jensen, had actually lifted the weight with more style, so he gave him the gold medal. But he got his own back on Jensen in the single-handed lift, where he lifted a bigger weight. So there was no, it didn't come down to style points. It was nice, you know, a royal got to judge the weightlifting if they were in 1896. If they lifted the same amount of weight, brilliant, a prince would say, no, he did it better than you.
That didn't look as refined for my taste.
Yeah, so, you know.
That's the medals, though. That's serious going.
I know, yeah. We've a bit to do to catch up.
If we keep having weeks the way we are, maybe we'll get to 1,000 in the next cycle.
Yeah, exactly. So, Jesse, thank you very much. And
no problem.
I think we will be talking to you the next few days ahead of Rashida's final. As I mentioned, next up, I am chatting to Olympic bronze medal rowers Dara Lynch and Philip Doyle. I'm delighted to be joined by Olympic bronze medalist Philip Doyle and Dara Lynch from the Irish Cultural Centre in Paris. How are you getting on, lads?
Good, yeah. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Olympic bronze medalists. Have you got your head around that yet? It's been just about a week. Is it sitting well with you?
We've been on the go really. Like today, I didn't realize it's nearly been a week since we actually won that medal. It feels like 2 days ago. Haven't been getting too much sleep for like the days that's been flying by. So I'd say it won't be till we get home till it actually hits us, because it's quite busy over here.
And that's what I like to hear.
Still taking our time to look through all the messages we got and all that stuff too.
Good stuff. Philip, will you be slipping home on a flight and getting a bus back to your house like the two lads from Cork are planning or doing, or are you going to hang around for the proper homecoming?
The plan is to hang around and head home with everybody. I know Fintan's actually coming back to Paris to join us. They're not slipping home for a quiet homecoming at all. He wanted to go to a Taylor Swift concert in Austria, so he slipped home to get a flight from Dublin to Vienna. So he'll be back with us for a bit of crack and we go to the closing ceremony together. But and Paul has a World Championships in Canada, so he just wants to keep the training going. So yeah, just like the last few weeks, the last few days, like Dara said, I actually didn't even realize it was a week until there now. It's mental. It feels like it's been 2 or 3 days, but every day you think, this morning we were doing a bit of a chat with Carla Frampton, came and said hello to us. We were with Reese McLennan and just having a bit of a morning thing with Eurosport. And then afterwards, we were like, we were supposed to go and watch Leona Maguire in the golf. And it's a bit of a distance from here. So we were like, leave it off, and they were like, we have the whole day free, and sure, it's 8 o'clock now, and to be honest, I don't know what we did. Like the day's just going so handy, and crazy,
amazing. Fintan McCarthy, back-to-back gold medalist, doesn't sound like the best man for planning his travel though, if he's gone from Paris back to Dublin to get a flight to Austria. He's not done that one right. I have to ask you, Dara, about your medal. Have you still got it? Is it okay? Is it in one piece?
Yeah, you heard about it, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not looking too good. Everyone I take it out to is like, geez, what's going on there? But I hope I can get a new one, because this one is not going to last too long. It's been, 6 days, and the ribbon's falling off it. It's completely discolored. I hope I can get a new one. Hopefully it was a faulty metal and not my fault, but...
Mona won't do a swap, no.
Hers looks, I was like, you see my medal. She's like, yeah, mine's getting all this color too. And hers look brand new.
So you're totally absolving yourself of all blame here. It isn't down to hanging around the neck of dogs or anything like that. No, it's a faulty medal.
Faulty medal, I think. They'll be calling them all back soon, I reckon.
Every time I've seen him, he's had gloves on, so he's been looking after it. And it's like when his brother was trying to have a look at a ring, and it's immaculate care and conception. But it's inspired a good few people. And to be honest, every time you take it out of your pocket, every time you show it to somebody, they all want to hold it, they all want to see it, they all want to. And we were trying to do a bit of a content thing with the Irish Olympic Federation. We walked just literally round the corner to this tiny little square, and they were taking a bit of a video. And as we walked in, we realized there was a load of people having their lunch in restaurants. And as we walked forward, they seen the medals, and just the whole courtyard erupted with applause. And then there was kids being brought to us, and the federales came over, the gendarme were looking, their picture taken, and we did like a fake medal ceremony with that. Like, they were buzzing. So it was like, oh, what's your name? And then it was like, oh, I'll say like Jean or something. You're like, oh, Jean, I present you with here. And they were like buzzing for us. Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to us for them to know you have the medal, but I think until they actually see the physical thing, like, that's when they're actually, whoa, geez. So I think it's good to like show people it's not too long. You have to actually show it to people and they actually care about it. So
yeah,
might as well put them when they have a chance.
Yeah, because that's the thing, Philip. You get the impression, like, just from watching like the VTs before Kelly Harrington's fight last night and stuff, like, the atmosphere over there looks amazing, and the number of Irish people over there looks amazing. And now I suppose as the number of people competing kind of tails off, you know, it's kind of tapering now. There's golf, a few athletes left, but it's a little bit quieter now. So I guess as a team, you're probably getting more of a chance to kind of come together now and appreciate what you've done.
Yeah, I think rowing's a very special sport and a very special discipline, because, you know, we have the lads who have been winning so much for so long, and we have so many successful women's pair, you know, just narrowly missed out on winning the entire World Cup series this year, only for the Dutch Olympic world champions, who beat them by a matter of point or 2 points. So, you know, like, there's boats in our group bringing home medals from every competition. I think there was only the European Championships last year where we missed out on fourth by points something of a second, which we genuinely were like, no one's won a medal here, guys. What's going on? And like, that was a shock for us. So we're used to stepping on podiums, we're used to bringing back medals, and used to literally, you get finish the regatta on the Sunday and you're training Monday morning. So the mentality of our team is just to take that in their stride. And obviously it's hard to explain the difference between winning a world championship medal last year and the same color of Olympic medal this year, and the response you get and the inspiration people seem to draw from it. But like, this team of athletes that we have has been winning medals for a long, long time. And the only difference is that this one seems to matter more to people at home, which is amazing. But like, we've taken it in our stride, you know, because we celebrate success, but we don't want to be complacent going forward. So it's always like that enjoyment / just not expectation of success, but we've come to learn success and get used to continuing the hard work with that in the background.
Would you agree with that, Dara, that, you know, would the World Championship medal last year mean as much as this Olympic medal to you guys? It's just everything that goes with the Olympic medal, that, you know, the public kind of kerfuffle, and like the gendarme fake medal ceremonies, etc. The dogs that want to talk to you, like, is it just that? Does the actual achievement seem on par with the World Championship?
Like, to be fair, the Olympics is, like, rowing is one of the few sports left where the Olympics is like the one that matters. Like, even last year, we got the bronze medal at the World Championships, and the first thing that goes into your head is, okay, now we've qualified for Olympics, and let's aim towards that. And I think, like, everyone's 4-year plan is revolved around being right on year 4 for the Olympics. So, like, you're getting the best, everyone's at their best for the Olympics, and also the pressure is a lot higher. Like, just everything is definitely another level up, and to perform on the Olympics, I think, yeah, it requires a bit more, and like the preparation has to be perfect. And yeah, so that does make the achievement a bit more special.
Oh, that's fair
Yeah.
enough. Philip, just briefly going back to the race, you said in your immediate post-race interview, you kind of apologized, you said, for a little error you made. And Tim Harnady back in the studio was like, I don't think he did anything wrong. I can't see anything. He said, I'd obviously need to watch it back. But he was saying, when you're in a boat, obviously you're two big fellas in a fairly slim boat, any small little movement that's untoward might feel like an error to you, but maybe actually it didn't make much of a difference. Have you watched the race back, and do you still think you made an error?
I haven't, but I can tell you now you won't see it on the race because they always cut the camera angle from behind the boats to the side to catch the finish line, and it was just a perfect sweet spot in between the two. We had to work so hard to get away from the USA coming into the last 500 that we had to find. We always call it that gear that you've never gone to before, and we know we have that gear. We did it in World Cup One to push through the Germans to win a medal, and we've done it multiple times before. We did it last year at the World Champs, and we kind of knew we were going to have to do something like that, and we could feel the Dutch, so we were really gunning for it. But the boat, sometimes when you do that, you get imbalanced because it you're trying to be symmetrical as possible, and we were steering away, and I very in my w wisdom of all wisdoms that you have in the last couple of 100 meters of the race, I was like, sure, I'll just do it all by myself and steer the boat. And we do it together, and I made the mistake by trying to turn it myself with one hand and nearly clipped the water, and the blade kind of like got caught a little bit, and then we had to like grab it and go again. But we were luckily we'd the work done to get away from the USA, so I think we might have been a tighter gap on the Dutch, but I think the Dutch were far enough ahead to us, and there wasn't enough water left to make a difference in the placing. But I just wanted to I had to say sorry to Daz, because that it's not usually like me in a race, but it can happen, and I think we recovered very well, and the mentality of ourselves was just to keep pushing and see the job done through.
Yeah, I was watching the skateboarding earlier, and I was just I couldn't get over how friendly the competitors were to each other. They genuinely seemed happy for the Australian bloke who won in the end, and it was very exciting. You guys obviously maybe not to the same level, but you seem to get on well, Dara, with the guys you're competing against. Like just when you were doing your first interview with David Gillick after you'd won the medal, you were like, kind of embracing the Dutch crew. I'm wondering, have you been talking to the Romanians since, to kind of ask them where that came from? Because you seem genuinely surprised that they
Yeah, I
managed to
saw
keep
that.
that pace.
To be honest, when we were at the Eurosport thing today, it was my first time seeing the race back on the screen. I think for the whole like 30 seconds after we crossed the line, I was just staring at the Romanians like what just happened? But yeah, that's strange. I've never really spoken to the Romanians, but most of the English speaking teams, like you'd be pretty good friends with them. The Dutch, a lot of the teams are coming to the Irish house over here too. Like that's the only, I think it's one of the only places that actually stays open late. So every night around 12 o'clock, you see all these big fellas rolling in. But also, like there are 12 people from my college who are rowing at the Olympics too. So there'll be a huge group, and then obviously all of our friends from college too then came over because there is such a big group. So yeah, like it's a very tight community. Like there's not that many boats that get to race the Olympics in rowing. That's getting less and less every year. So like the few boats that are here, you would know them pretty well. And definitely after the racing, I think everyone kind of comes together as rowers, and like we all go out together and that sort of stuff. So it's a good community, yeah.
You've recovered obviously there, because we were, even before you did your interview where you admitted you weren't feeling well, those of us in the office, we were watching the medal ceremony, and you said, he's not well, lads. He's as white as a sheet. Does that happen to you often, or was this just like
Oh no,
you
yeah,
absolutely emptied yourself for an Olympic final?
it's very rare that happens. I was actually very surprised. Like I've never gotten sick before after a race, and yeah, there I was getting sick, but there wasn't really anything to come out. It was just like blue Powerade, because
All right, yeah,
like we
lovely.
like it was very hard to eat the morning of the race,
Yeah.
and literally all we consumed was a bit of Powerade, and like my body was trying to puke, but nothing was really coming out other than this blue. Yeah,
Which
it's
might have
tough. But
worried people.
like you normally cool down after a race, but straight after the race, it was into the ceremony and stuff, and I think the heat and all that just came together, and yeah.
Oof. So what next then, Philip? You guys obviously are enjoying yourselves and, you know, very very deserved. Don't know if you're keeping the calorie intake up. When do you get back to training? When's the next meet? Or are you not kind of thinking about that yet?
Yeah, well, when we're done and inspiring all the Irish pubs in Paris, I went for a run the other day because I signed up for a half marathon in October, and we try and see if we can keep the body ticking over nicely. The calorie intake has definitely dipped because, you know, we're not doing as much, but we're still enjoying the delicacies as much as we can and trying to see as much of the Parisian lifestyle. But I think
no light beer, that's just counterproductive, I suppose.
But they love the wine here, the next few months, to be honest, it's rowing so intense. It's 6.5 days a week. It's away from your family. It's down in Cork, and Dara's girlfriend's based over in New York, and my girlfriend's back up north at home. So just a couple of weeks of celebrating with family, friends, seeing people we haven't seen for months, and showing them the medal and saying, look, it was, you know, I went off to do this and I've done it. So let's enjoy and celebrate together, and then make a decision about when to come back to training and how hard over the next few months. But like, we're not, this man is the hardest worker I've ever seen on the machine. So I'd say he'll be churning out the miles on the bike or some kind of fitness over the next few weeks. And you don't want to let it dip too much, even for your own physical health and fitness. Definitely a few weeks of enjoyment and a lighter load over the next while. I need to learn how to swim. So I'm working that out over the next few
weeks. So you don't know how to swim?
Well, I can swim, but I need to learn how to properly swim, because
for a man who spends that much time in a boat, I was going to say it would be an interesting development if you didn't know.
Yeah, well,
to
if
swim.
You're spending time in the boat, but you're in the water more than you're in the boat, you should be worried.
I know, but it can happen. You know, it can happen. I was wondering. You're a hard worker, Dara. I was wondering. Gavin Noble told me he got he had to get a rowing machine over to the cultural center for Paul for the days after his final. Have you been on that? Is there one there? Have you been using it?
Paul, because Paul's going off to the world champs, so he's going on that. I won't do that. I think, to be honest, it's good for you to have a week or two anyway, where you, like, I think in the long term, it's actually better for your fitness if you do take that week or two, because you can't just keep going all the time. So yeah, not yet, but maybe if I do, like, you get back into by running or swimming or cycling or whatever, like do something a bit different for a month to keep the mind fresh.
Yeah, all right, lads. Well, look, it's great to hear from you, and it sounds like you are having a ball over there, which I think is exactly what all us normal people think you should do when you win an Olympic medal. You should go on the tear for a week at least in Paris and eat good food and drink nice drinks and let a dog wear your medal. I think you're doing the country proud for a second time, I think,
I think the Irish people would be disappointed in us if we didn't.
Absolutely. No, it's you're doing exactly, you're living, everybody, the dream's to win the medal, but I think the other dream is to do what you guys are doing now and actually get to enjoy the medal. So fair
a lot
play.
Of them are doing it too.
Well, the supporters are helping us out, so they're doing a great job of celebrating. Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, thank you to Philip and Dara for joining us. I'll be back again tomorrow. And of course, you can follow the Olympics on RTE2, RTE Radio 1, and the RTE Sport website and the RTE News app. So until tomorrow, I'll chat to you again. Good luck. Goodbye.